This is how we live. We live with God's promises. We live with God's presence. We live with God's power. We live with God's peace, and we live in God's purpose. And when you believe that, it will drive every bit of fear out of your life. It'll drive every bit of intimidation out of your life. It'll drive every bit of anxiety and worry out of your life. You have the goods. You have what you need. You don't have to be afraid another day in your life. You don't have to be worried about coronavirus. You don't have to be worried about any virus. You are the virus to the virus. We're the virus to the virus. We're the antivirus. We're the healed. We're the loved. We're the beloved. He gives us in their sleep. We got peace. We got promises. We got power. We got purpose. We got praise. Hallelujah. Welcome to the Power to Change Today. Are you going through a storm? We're all going through crisis like we've never had before. Well, I want to teach you today how to get through it, how to get to the other side. So I'm going to teach you out of Mark chapter 4, and realize this, there's a promise for every problem you have. The promise is we are going to the other side. And I want you to know, whatever you're facing right now, whatever's happening in your life right now or 5 years from now or 10 years from now, you're going to make it to the other side, and that's why we can truly be free from fear. Fear can be crippling if you let it, but I'm on a mission today, and you and me together are going to dismantle the power of fear by understanding the four things I share with you on today's program. Get ready to experience true freedom from fear once and for all. We're going to the other side. Check this out. But we're going to get into God's word, and I have a special word for you. For some of you, it will come across like, that sounds a little familiar. And there's a reason why it might sound a little familiar, what I'm about to share with you. And it's because I believe that God has already prepared us for the times that we're living in. And wherever there is a problem, there's always a promise. There's always a promise from God's word. In fact, there's 7,000 promises in God's word. There's always a promise from God's word to handle whatever problem is in this world. Promise from the word, problem in the world, there's a promise from the word. If there's a problem in the world, there's a promise from the word. If there's a problem in your life, there's a promise from the word of God, the Bible, the holy, sacred, all scriptures inspired by God and profitable Bible. All of the scriptures are inspired by God. We're reading the word of God. It's alive. And we're together as the church, online, on site, whatever ways we come together, we are one. And we're together. And we are the gates. We are the church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. But I want you to see there's always a promise with every problem. And I want to start by taking you to a scripture in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Let's start there. It says, on the same day, and I'll get to what day that was in a moment, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over, let us go over to the other side. God, Jesus himself, now Jesus is God, Jesus is Lord, and he says to his disciples, let's go to the other side. We're going to the other side. And I want you to know whatever crisis is happening in this world today, whatever crisis will happen a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, we're going to the other side. Amen. I want you to say that right where you're watching. Say, I'm going to the other side. And I love how he said, let us go. Let us cross. It's us. So say that. Say, let us go to the other side. Say, we're going to the other side. You see, he includes us because we're not doing this alone. We're doing this together. We're going to the other side. And the Bible says, and they took Jesus in the boat just as he was, and other little boats were with him. Now that should speak to us something, that they took him in the boat just as he was. In other words, God wants you to accept Jesus into your life just as he is, not a different Jesus, not a weak Jesus, not a suffering Jesus. He was the suffering Jesus. Now he's the glorious Jesus. And they took Jesus in the boat just as he was. That spoke to me the first time I saw that and made me realize, wow, we get to take Jesus into our lives just as he is. We don't have an inferior Jesus. We don't have a Jesus that's different than the Jesus that walked the earth 2,000 years ago. We get to take him just as he is. And now what happened? A great storm of wind began to come and beat against that boat, and it was filling the boat, but Jesus was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said, "Master, don't you care that we're perishing?" Then he arose, you know the story, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. But then he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" So we're talking about freedom from fear today. Faith, not fear. He said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, I want to drill down on this for a moment, but I want you to see Jesus' attitude once he gets in the boat. And even in the midst of the storm, what is Jesus doing? He is sleeping. God has called us to rest in his promise. He's called us to not get nervous, not get worried, not get anxious. What's going to deliver us from fear and anxiety is the promise that God has made. And God gives promises because of God's love. God loves us, and therefore he gives us his promises. That love is always, God's love is always accompanied with a promise. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, wherever there's God's love, there's also God's promise. So there's also a gift that he gives. God so loved the world that he gave. God always accompanies his promises with a gift, or accompanies his love with a gift. God's love is always accompanied with a gift. And because God loves us, he always gives us a promise for whatever situation we're in. Now, I'm going to dive into Jesus' question to them when he said, "Where is your faith? Why are you so fearful?" So if Jesus asks the question, "Why are you so fearful?" then that implies to us we don't have to be so fearful. If he's asking the question, "Why are you guys so afraid? Where's your faith?" then there must be a way for us to get to the place where we aren't afraid. And there must be a way to get to the place where we're full of faith. And there must be a way that we can get to the place where we have peace and great calm, even when there's a storm raging around us. There must be a way, otherwise he wouldn't have said, "Why are you guys so fearful?" He said that because they didn't have to be fearful. And I'll tell you why they didn't have to be fearful. There's a way to be free from fear, and that's why Jesus said, "Why are you so afraid?" And I'll get to that. But I want you to see why Jesus was sleeping in the boat for a moment. Because in Psalm 127, and I want to look at this in the New American Standard Bible, Psalm 127, verse 2, and look at what it says. For he gives, it says, "It is vain to rise early, retire late, eat the bread of painful labors." Now look at what he says next. "For he gives to his beloved even in his sleep." He gives to his beloved even in his sleep. In other words, God is saying here that even when we sleep, he's always giving to us. That his gifts to us are not based on us being awake. His gifts to us are not based on us having it all together. His gifts to us are not based on us even being worried or nervous or anxious. He said he gives to his beloved, the ones he loves. He loves you. He gives to his beloved even while we're sleeping. What a great father that he gives to us even while we're sleeping. I want you to rest in this season of time. I want you to know that you can get in the boat in the middle of a storm. You can get in the boat with Jesus in the middle of the storm. And you can have peace. You can have peace inside. Now, when Jesus rebuked the wind and he said, "Peace be still," the only reason that he could say that was because he had peace on the inside. The only one who has the power over the storm is the one who's not afraid of the storm. The only one that has the power, listen, the only one that has the power over the storm, the only one who has the power over this crisis is the one who's not afraid of the crisis. Jesus was in the storm, but he wasn't afraid of the storm. Why? Because he had the love of God. He knew that God would give to him even while he slept. He knew this verse. He wrote this verse. He was the author of this verse. He was with the Father when the Father spoke this verse. He gives to his beloved even in their sleep. Jesus was convinced of the Father's love for him, so he knew that while he was sleeping, God would protect him. And that's what I want you to know, that in this season, God's going to protect you because you're his beloved, even in our sleep. So I can't sleep. I'm so worried. I got to watch the news. No. You got to plant the seed of God's word and then rest and trust in his grace and trust in his goodness and trust in his love. When God says, I love you and you're my beloved, and I'll give to you in your sleep, that's the Father saying, I'll care for you. That's the Father saying, I got you. That's the Father saying, I'm still on the throne and everything's going to be all right. That's what the Father means. I will care for you. I will provide for you. I will protect you and I will keep you. That's what kind of Father we have. And we're made in his image. And we have that kind of power, too, and we have that kind of authority. And we need to get a hold of this. That's why Jesus asked them, where's your faith? Why are you doubting? Where's your faith? Their faith was in the storm. Jesus' faith was in God's love and in God's promises. The disciples' faith was in the storm. They had more faith and respect for the storm than they had for God's promises. We have to have more faith in God's promise than we do in the storm. We have to respect God's promise more than we respect the storm. We respect the virus, but we respect God's promise greater than the virus. We respect it. It can hurt and it can kill, but we respect God's promise even more, and God's promise can heal. And God's promise will deliver. God's promises are how we live. We don't live by the promises we make to God. The Christian life is all about the promises God makes to us. So if we see in the storm, Jesus says, where's your faith? Why is he asking that? Because that is the most important question. Where's your faith in times of storm? He's not saying, why don't you have any faith? He's saying, where are you putting your faith? He's not saying, you don't have any faith. He's saying, you're putting your faith in the storm. Where is your faith put? Your faith is in the storm. Put your faith in the love of God. Put your faith in the promise of God. We're going to put our faith in something. We're going to respect something. We're going to believe something. Are we going to believe everything the media tells us, or are we going to believe what God's word tells us? We're going to put our faith in something. He said, where is your faith? In other words, he's saying your faith exists, but where are you putting it? Where are you putting it? You got to get a hold of this, folks. The miracle that happens here in Mark chapter 4, the greater miracle is not that Jesus calmed the storm. The greater miracle is that he had peace in the midst of it. It's a miracle that Jesus calmed the storm, and we can calm storms in our lives. But we can't calm the storms that we're afraid of. Jesus was only able to calm the storm because he wasn't afraid of the storm. The disciples were afraid of the storm, but Jesus wasn't. And I want you to get this, and I want you to get a hold of this, because the miracle, the greater miracle, is not that he stilled the storm. The greater miracle is that he slept through it. The greater miracle is that he had peace in the midst of the storm. That's the greater miracle. You say, but didn't he wake up and calm the storm? He wouldn't have woken up. He would have got to the other side, but the disciples woke him up. Don't you care? Don't you care that we're perishing? Their faith was in the storm. Jesus' faith was in his promise. And what was the promise? So, as you've heard me say before, during any crisis and during any situation, the first thing that each of us need to do is take inventory. We need to take inventory of what we have. We don't need to run out in fear for the last roll of toilet paper. We don't need to run out in fear for the last bottle of hand sanitizer. We don't need to run out in fear and take a test to see if we have the disease, because you might have it, but it doesn't have you. Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. There are viruses in this world, and they come to our bodies, but greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If they would have taken inventory before they woke Jesus up, they would have said, okay, let's take inventory. What's the first thing we have? The first thing you have is a promise. And what's the promise in this passage of Scripture? Jesus said in verse 35, let us go to the other side. We are going to the other side. There's the promise. The first thing that every one of us has whenever there's a crisis is we do need to take inventory and realize we have a promise. So what is the promise here? We're going to the other side. What is the promise in this crisis? We're going to the other side. What is the promise in your financial situation? We're going to the other side. We're going to make it to the other side. You're going to make it to the other side. And when was this promise made? Look at verse 35. He says, on the same day, Mark chapter 4, verse 35, on the same day, then evening had come, and he promised them, we're going to the other side. On the same day as what? What day did he make this promise, and what day did they get in the boat, and what day did he go to sleep, and what day did the storm hit? So he's now illustrating for us exactly what he said the kingdom of God is like in Mark chapter 4, verse 26. The kingdom of God is like a man that plants seed into the ground, and then he sleeps. He goes to sleep at night. So what did Jesus do? He said, we're going to the other side. That's Jesus planting the seed of God's word. And then what did Jesus do? He went to sleep. He did exactly what he said the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like a man, verse 26, that plants his seed in the ground and then he goes to sleep at night. And then he does that. He tells them in verse 35, we're going to the other side. In verse 36, what does he do? He goes to sleep. He does exactly what he says, exactly what he taught them the kingdom of God was. He now illustrates how the kingdom of God operates in his own life and in their lives. If we take inventory, what did these disciples have? And what do we have in the midst of the storm? Number one, they had a promise. When Jesus said, we're going to the other side, that's their promise. Number two, you know what's next. They had God's presence. Number one, they had a promise. This is the first message I ever preached in this building where I'm preaching to you now. It's the first scripture I ever taught was this scripture in Mark chapter 4. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and they were with him. So now, watch this. So number one, they had a promise, we're going to the other side. Number two, they had his presence. Jesus was with them. So now, what do they have? We're doing inventory. When you look in your cupboards before you go to the grocery store, got to see what I have, got to see what I need. Let's take inventory. What do I got? Okay, here's what you got. Before you worry another second, take inventory of what you have at this second. You have the promise of God. Number one, we're going to the other side. You have the presence of God. He is with you and he'll never leave you. And then number three, Jesus, they wake Jesus up and he gets up and he speaks. He rebukes the storm and speaks to the wind. And he rebukes the wind and then speaks to the sea, peace, be still. I want you to see this. And the wind ceased and there was great calm. In other words, his words carried power. And so do your words. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So listen to me. The third thing they have, when we take inventory, what do we have? Number one, they had the promise of God. We're going to the other side. Number two, they had the presence of God. Jesus was with them, and he's with you. And number three, they had the power of God. And the power is in our words. The power is in our tongue. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Jesus demonstrates the power over situations and over storms. Your words are going to take your body in the direction that your words speak. If you speak, I'm depressed, I'm fearful, I'm afraid, I'm anxious, your body's going to follow those words of anxiety, because your tongue is the rudder of the ship. And wherever the rudder of a ship turns, that's where the whole ship turns. And you can have a big boat, but it has a little rudder, and the little rudder is what moves the direction of the boat. And what's the rudder of our lives? The Bible says our tongue is the rudder of our ship. Our tongue is the steering wheel that directs the rest of our life. Our bodies are going to follow our words. Our finances are going to follow our words. Our families are going to follow our words. Our emotions are going to follow our words. Our words have power. And you got to know that you have this power. As we're taking inventory, you got power. Jesus rose and he rebuked the wind and then spoke to the sea, "Peace, be still." And then what happened? There was a great calm. So now that's the next thing that we have. We got his promise, we got his presence, we got his power, we have his peace. He said, "Peace, be still," and there was a great calm, so we have his peace. We have his praise. We can praise him anytime. We should be praising him in times like this. Why? Because our God is sovereign still. Our God is more powerful than the storm, and so are we, because we're made in his image. You know, this peace that Jesus had in the middle of the storm, it's your peace because he gave it to you. You can have peace on the inside the same way he did. That's why he could say, "Peace, be still," because he had peace on the inside. The only one who has the power over the storm is the one who's not afraid of the storm. Jesus was in the storm, but he wasn't afraid of it. He slept in the midst of it. How? Because he knew the love of God. Jesus also knew, Psalm 127, verse 2 says, "For he gives sleep to those who he loves." And he loves you. And it's time we rest in God's promises. He loves you. And I want you to put your faith in the love of God today. Put your faith in the promises of God today. Put your faith in the presence of God today. And know that you have the power of God today as well. That's how to experience true peace and freedom from fear forever. And you see, the greater miracle here is that Jesus, it wasn't just that he calmed the storm, but that he could sleep in the midst of it. There's a lot of storms in our lives. We don't have to calm all of them. We have to calm ourselves sometimes. Now, I'm going to pray for you in a moment, and we're going to activate that faith and calm whatever's on the inside of you and whatever's on the outside of you. And I want to pray for you in just a moment, but I want to first thank you for allowing me to come into your world and minister to you. It really is an honor for me to share God's word with you each and every time we're together. But when we're together, we only have a few minutes, so let's connect on a deeper level. And if you'd like to understand truly how to live this fearless life, my announcer is going to tell you more, and I'll be right back to pray for you. Check this out.
For your generous gift to the ministry of $25 or more, Gregory Dickow wants to send you today's teaching in its entirety, entitled Freedom from Fear. Plus, as a very special bonus for calling today, we'll rush to you one of Gregory Dickow's best-selling books, Fearless: How to Conquer Fear Forever. In this powerful book, Fearless: How to Conquer Fear Forever, Pastor Gregory Dickow takes you through the seven major fears that each of us can struggle with, and the simple truths to overcoming these storms of life. You will learn about the seven fears that may be affecting your decision-making process and how to cast fear out of the equation for good. Just ask for offer 1018A. And with your extraordinary gift of $100 or more today, you will receive everything you see on the screen: Freedom from Fear and Fearless: How to Conquer Fear Forever. Plus, you will also receive Gregory Dickow's powerful 4-CD series, Fearless. These revolutionary teachings will absolutely transform your thinking, help you silence the voice of fear, and prepare to live a fearless life so that you can experience the life God has in store for you. Just ask for offer 1018B. And if you call right now for a limited time only with your extraordinary gift of $125 or more today, you will receive everything you see on the screen in a digital format on Greg Redickow's brand new Jump Drive card, plus 10 of Greg Redickow's favorite teachings about living the fear-free life. Just ask for offer 1018C. Don't wait. Call the number on your screen now.
Well, I want to inspire you to do something that's going to change somebody's eternity forever. You know, the collection of material and teachings that you just saw, those are my gift to you for your generous support of this ministry, including today's brand new teaching in its entirety, Freedom from Fear. And also, I want to put this book in your hand, Fearless. This is How to Conquer Fear Forever. I'm really excited about this, as well as 10 of my favorite teachings about living and conquering, dismantling fear on this digital USB drive. So, like I mentioned last week, our love is best expressed as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. This ministry is reaching more people every day. People are hungry for God's love. They're hungry for the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are preaching this gospel in 6 different languages. So with your gift today, I'm going to be able to continue to reach these precious souls and populate heaven in Jesus' name. That's why I need your urgent help today. I hope you'll prayerfully give your gift of faith today. Now let me pray for you to experience freedom from fear. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us your promises. You've given us your power. You've given us your presence. And so, Lord, we can have your peace today. Give every person watching hope. Give them hope today, Lord, that everything is going to turn around for their good in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listen, don't miss our next broadcast. Tell your friends. Invite them over for a watch party if you want. And listen, if you don't have a church home, join me through our global online church community. You can find it at gregrydickow.com. And don't miss our next broadcast. Set your DVR so you never have to miss another one. And I can't wait to see you then. God bless.